أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماءه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتحدون الذي لا يدركه بعد الحمم ولا يناله غوص الفطن ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين صاحب العصر والزمان خليفة الرحمن إمام الإنس والجان ولعن الله وعداهم أجمعين إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله وقوله الحق بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا صدق الله العلي العظيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. We have reached our final discussion for at least my lectures with all of you at JCC for the month of Ramadan. And, you know, try to contain your excitement. I know how happy you guys are. Thank God, you know, from tomorrow we get somebody new. But regardless, we have been trying to now for the past four nights, including tonight, look at worship as an outlet. You know, a lot of pain now, a lot of broken hearts, anxiety, stress. We're looking for something to numb us, something to guide us away from this pain. And the premise for the past three nights has been the idea that sometimes one of the tools, I'm not saying it's everything, but one of the tools that can be used as an outlet now for a lot of our pain and suffering is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must begin to move away from it being a burden, an obligation, and try to look at it as an escape. Remember my example of the prison guard and the jingling of the keys and the fact that, you know, the inmate now is waiting five times a day now for that door to open for him to go out, get some fresh air, and escape the madness. The Prophet now telling Bilal, Bilal, relieve us with the adhan. Now last night was, you know, the wafat of Bibi Khadija, salamu alayha, and in conclusion tonight, again, staying within my half an hour of a speech, nothing too long, but these are just pointers for all of you to kind of ponder, for me to ponder on, really, is this idea that, fine, you know, I get the fact that worship can be an outlet, it can be a solution, right? What is the tiniest step for us to move towards that worship? What's the smallest step we can move towards worship? Remember the idea of the rocks a couple of nights ago? But one discussion that I have to have before I leave you for the month of Ramadan is the barriers. What is it that blocks us now? Why can't we see worship as an outlet? Why can't we see worship as an escape, as a relief from the madness? And it's a very good question, one I want to tackle on today. And, you know, there are two concepts that I want to discuss tonight as a closing discussion on this mini topic. One is the destructive power of instant gratification. That becomes a barrier now. And second is that, you know, how we view God in this worship. Two essential qualities. You know, we have to begin to do some decluttering of the mind. Okay? Concepts that are not fixed up here will not be fixed in the heart. Okay? We have to let go of certain false truths that are out there inside of us, that we've created now inside of us. You know, I'm no good at this, I can't do this. That's the first thing I want to say, actually, is that, you know, it's a mindset, guys. It has always been a mindset. You know, there are people that sometimes in my presence make these statements about themselves, and I think to myself that, you know what, that's not how you are. Like, you know, God won't listen to me, God won't forgive me, or, you know, sometimes the best one is that I'm sitting in front of somebody, we're having a conversation, and they'll put in the fact that, you know, say, I'm not a spiritual guy, I'm not religious, right? You know, I'm not godly like you are, for example, or those kind of things. And I stop and I think, you know what? This is a guy, a person who serves humanity, looks after his family, you know, supports the community to the best of his. He may not be there on Thursday nights, but you know, whichever way he can help, he helps. He's a decent human being. He works hard, right? He's an ethical human being. And I want to tell that person that, look, everything, the life that you're living is a life of God. You just don't know it, right? Because you have these false attributed truths in your head that you live and die by. You know, if we believe that, oh yeah, this worship isn't going to really work. I mean, it doesn't really work for me. It's not for me, right? That's the statement nowadays, that this whole salat and fasting thing isn't for me. It might be for you, say it's not for me. And again, it's just a falsehood, right? This is not a worship that is to be done by a specific group of people. Okay? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the Holy Prophet now, in his last sermon of Sha'ban, he says, Ya ayyuhan nas, qad aqbala ilaykum shahrullah. I mean, you know, it's, ya all mankind, the month of Ramadan now is approaching. Now, there are some people that use meditation, that use yoga, that use all sorts of things as outlets. I want us as believers in God to begin to now invest in the company known as a worship of God, provided that we understand what we're doing. Okay? We cannot see worship as a transactional phenomenon. It has to be a transformational phenomenon. Please understand this opening point. It is crucial that we get this point, especially dua. You know, we live in a consumerism era, right? We live in an online world. We live in a world now, if you have the right membership, you can kind of buy something, it's there at your doorstep the next day, okay? And when we order something from these companies and they come to my front door and they are the size I want, the color I want, they're on time. If it says, you know, delivery by tomorrow, it comes in by tomorrow. And if these three things are there, it meets all of my needs, then I'm happy, right? I'm happy. And I'll keep buying from them. Pretty easy process. I got what I wanted. That's great. But if after a while, you know, I ask for a blue color, I got a red color. The size was supposed to be small, I got medium. They said they would come by tomorrow, but they came next Monday. That happens enough. Then not only do we not buy from these companies, we start to tell everybody else, you know what, these guys are no good. They mess up the orders, they're delayed, you know. They're not very efficient. And we end up seeing God and our worship like that transaction. Hear me out now. Hear me out. First of all, we only contact God when we need something. Okay? Not all of us. There's some of you, mashallah, who are incredible. In terms of when you're happy, you thank Allah. When you have moments of quietness, you thank Allah. But there are people like me that, you know, I call upon God when I need something. Okay? I see dua as a favor. I have to ask God for a favor. Worship to me is asking God for a favor. And a lot of us who have a lot of formality, like I am, you know, I have a tough time asking anybody for anything. Even my own wife drives her crazy. You know, she wants me to ask her for a glass of water. I'm not trying to say that I'm good. It's annoying after a while, right? I have this formality, this, you know, they say this takallufat, they say in Urdu, this hesitation I have, right, sometimes. I can't ask somebody for a favor. Can you drop me off? Can you pick me up? Can you give me a ride? Can I borrow this? You know, I can't. If I need a cup of sugar, I'll go and I'll buy, like I said, a few nights ago, I'll go and buy a massive pack of sugar for that one cup. That's how I am. So if I'm not able to ask someone for a favor, I have that same hesitation when it comes to God. Because first of all, there's no way I'm convincing myself that I'm even worthy of asking God for anything. Second of all, I have this immense, immense hesitation. But when I do ask God, I ask God as a transaction. And I allow those consumerism qualities of mine, the habits of mine, to trickle into my worship. The God I asked to marry this guy or this girl, at this date, I want a summer wedding, and inshallah, within a year of that wedding, I want a child. Okay, that's my order. That's my dua. Okay, I add to cart, I buy now, everything's good, I wait for the order to arrive. It arrives, it's not the girl I wanted to marry. It ends up being a winter cold wedding, and we don't have kids for 3 years from now. This is not what I ordered. It's not what I ordered. Wrong person, wrong date, and wrong timing. Or let's say I married the person I want, but instead of a summer wedding, I have a fall wedding, right? So it has to be a little bit chilly, maybe indoors. And I've asked for a child by next April. It would be great. I would love a summer maybe. Summer comes and goes. Winter comes and goes. In spring of the next year, I'm expecting a child. That happens enough time, we start to lose confidence in the whole system of worship and dua. This is a waste of my time. It's not for me. Why? Because our view is transactional. We think that we ordered God Prime. God Prime, I pay extra for it, should tell me that, okay, I get it the next day, and that, right? That's a problem now. We start to now move away from worship. There's no way this is now lit. They can't get my colors and sizes right. It's not the system. It's our lens towards the system. It has to be a transformational reality. Where now the process of me asking God is half the solution. Our hadith says that half of the response to the dua is the dua itself. You ever call those companies, right? And you get to those, you know, automatry, press four for this, press five for this. You're just trying to get to the right person. You finally get a live voice. It ends up being some guy in Nova Scotia who does accounting. You're in the wrong department, sir. You're looking for, I don't know, tech support. Okay. I go back into the tree. I somehow get to, you know, press seven, press one, press pound, right? This and that. And you finally, after like 10 minutes on the phone, you get to the right guy. Yes, sir, I can help you with that. Oh my God, those words are music to my ears. I'm like, whoo, and half of my tension is gone. I haven't even told the guy my problem yet. But at least I found the right source. Sometimes finding the right source, believing in that source, being convinced of that source is half the battle. Asking God, going to his door, saying, God, you asked me to ask you, now I'm asking you, these are my issues. And being specific, I ask all of you who are the brokenhearted, be specific in your du'as. God knows what's inside of my heart. Yes, he does. But Imam Sajjad, alayhi salatu wasalam, says, allow your tongue to verbalize the du'a such that your ear hears it. When the ear hears it, it strengthens your faith inside of your soul. When we begin to understand that, look, all other doors to me will not have my answer. My outlet is worship. My outlet is the fast. My outlet is this one dua. My outlet is this. Then it's no longer a transactional period. Whether those duas are immediately answered or not is irrelevant. If that guy on the text board says, look, you know, I'll ship you out a new modem. It'll take a week, right? I'm sorry, but, you know, for the next few days, you'll have to use your choppy modem. I'll be okay with that, knowing full well that in at least he's heard me, the right guy, something is happening, the process has begun. I'm far ahead of the game than I was yesterday when I had no one to ask. Today, I picked up the phone, I called tech support, I got to the right person, and now the process has begun. So it's just a matter of days now where I know something will happen. Dua is no different. Transformational lens is important. When we don't have the transformational lens, then at that moment, worship no longer becomes an outlet, it becomes a burden, and we drag our feet to the musalla. We sit down and we count down the days until iftar. We're scared of the month of Ramadan. There are people who are frightful of the month of Ramadan. Everyone else is celebrating, and there's decor, Ramadan Kareem, this and that. Meanwhile, I am scared of the month of Ramadan. It's totally normal. It's okay to be scared of it. It's a daunting act of worship. But the challenge, to accept that challenge, to get through the day, that first water going down your throat, the moment the kajur hits your taste buds, at that moment, that sense of accomplishment can be revolutionary. So my sisters and my brothers, initially now in the first discussion on this closing lecture, is dua and worship is not transactional. Remove the lens of consumerism when it comes to God and worship and understand it can be a revolution, a transformation, a change that we need. Even if the dua is not answered right away, the process has begun. He's heard me. I went to the right source. He told me to ask him. I've asked him. He told me I will answer your call. وإذا سألك عني عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان. Beautiful verse. I will answer the call of the da'i, of anyone who calls, إذا دعان, whenever they call. But we can't attach our timeline to it. Okay? God, I need a job by next March. March comes and goes, no job. You're like, huh, mistake asking you. Let me go and do and ask somebody else. That's a transactional mentality. No good. That's number one. The second point I want to make now is that some of the reasons why we're not able to see worship as an outlet is because we are consumed with the instant gratifying element inside of us. Okay? In this fast-paced world now, and fixed quick schemes everywhere you go, you know, we have been a little bit accustomed to instant gratification. Okay? And you know, the experts say, you know, these, you know, the mind psychologists, and I'll get to a couple of traditions in a moment, but, you know, the idea that, you know, sometimes, majority of the time they say, that those things that are easily accessible are sometimes the most damaging, right? From fast food to online shopping to our phone being right beside us. And look, I'm not the type, and all of you know me very well in this community, I'm not the type to say, you know what, you know, don't go out for burgers once in a while, you know, don't do online shopping. I mean, I'm always online, right? Don't reach for your phone, this and that. I'm not saying any of that. Obviously, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying to sit in a corner and just rock back and forth and you know, and shut out the world. No. But to the point now where it trickles into every aspect of our life, where anything I do, I expect to turn around to be 24 hours, that's damaging. Because the problem is that the more we go towards instant gratifying elements in society, like the fast food and like, you know, the online shopping and like, let's say, our phone, let's say that's right beside us, we go through a dopamine surge. That high is very, very addictive. And we begin now to train our brain that, look, whatever I ask for, I need it right away. Okay? I need it right away. What ends up happening is that while we are going through this instant gratifying movement, we actually lose sight of what the overall plan, overall goal is. We're stuck in small little goals, and we conquer those goals very quickly, right? I'm starving, open up an app, right? A few clicks later, 10 minutes later, ding-dong, it's at my door, right? A rough day, I want to numb myself, I pick up my phone, I just go through my Instagram. Right? I need a new pair of shoes. Click, click, click on the app. Blah, blah, blah. Right? And after a while now, we begin to train our brain to say, whatever you desire, it can be there literally in 24 hours. Right? The brain only knows how much you tell it. Somewhere lost in there is a process of delayed gratification. The idea of investment. The idea of putting a little bit in now for a greater gain later, right? In this era of branding and consumerism and marketing and quick fix and overnight solutions, I think the overall purpose of the development of ourselves to be the best possible version of ourselves somewhat got lost. We treat that exact same element of instant gratification to our worship. I've been worshiping God for years. I see no change in me. I've been fasting every single year. I don't miss one fast. I don't see a change inside of me. There's still hardships. And by the way, there's no way that I am suggesting for a moment that if you go down the path of worship as an outlet that you're going to be all of a sudden problem free. Absolutely not. That's absurd. The reality, the bitter reality of this world is that it is a place of test. It is. It's a place of hardships. This dunya has not spared those who are far greater than us, and they will not spare us either. So what are you suggesting, Sayyid Asad? I'm suggesting that, look, this is not about looking for a problem-free life. It's about the right tools to handle those hardships, to not break down, to be able now to ask yourself, why do I feel the need to right now binge eat? What happened? Did I meet somebody? Did I see somebody? Why am I triggered right now? Why did that talk with my mother triggered me to go ahead and order this food and that food that I haven't had for months, and I'm going to regret afterwards? But I don't care. I want it now. Get in my belly now. Right? And as I mentioned on social media now, one of the beautiful things and the most difficult things about the month of Ramadan is that those numbing devices are gone throughout the day. We can't turn to binge watching and binge eating. And those triggers now are going to come, you know, like fire, just this fierce, you know, presence. All of a sudden now I have this flurry of emotions, anger and fear and pit in my stomach and just down and depressed all within one day. We can shove that down, or we can begin to now be uncomfortable for a greater gain. Okay? It all depends on, are we adopting an instant gratifying life or a delayed gratifying life? A little bit of both is very possible. Imam Ali says, when it comes to instant gratification, you should instantly move towards good and instantly move towards removing bad. But when it comes to everything else, خُلُقًا إِنسَانًا مِنْ عَجَلٍ, the Quran says, we created the man to be haste. We have to fight that reality inside of us. We have to govern it. We have to direct it properly. We can't assume that when it comes to the worship of Allah, that everything will be on our terms. The sheer idea of submission in God is that I submit not only to you, but to your plan. Years ago, on the Mimbra JCC, in 2018, I had an entire usher on the first 10 days of Muharram. I talked about the idea of, you know, escapism. I talked about the idea of now, you know, submitting to God and His plan. Alladhina yu'minuna bil ghayb is the first attribute of the muttaqin in Surah Baqarah. What does that mean? Not only do I believe in the unseen God, I believe in the unseen plan of His as well. I've done my part. I've asked. And now I wait. I let Him do what He does best. Okay. So my sisters and my brothers, there are two factors that stop us from looking at worship as an outlet. Number one is, you know, the idea that we see worship as a transaction. Okay. Not as a long-term counseling session, not as freedom from our prison cell. Okay? That's the first thing. Let's look at it through a transformational lens. Number two is that, you know, we have adopted or we have allowed today's instant gratifying society to trickle into our worship. I've asked God for a year, Sayyid. I've gotten no response, not even a sign or a hint. And that's where our submission comes in. Our submission to God is always being tested. And sometimes what's being tested is not only in terms of what we're given, but also in what we are not given. I'd like you to do an exercise with me. Is stop for a moment and think about the last dua that you were begging for that you didn't get. Years ago, maybe. And stop and ask yourself, if I had gotten that dua years ago, would my life be different today? Because there have been moments in my life where I have asked for something hard. I mean, I asked hard for something and I didn't get it. And I stop and I think to myself now, if I'd gotten that 5-10 years ago, I don't know if I would like the version of myself that would produce. Okay? So sometimes, you know, the blessings, the counting of blessings is not only for what I have, it's to understand that what I don't have. When we move away from instant gratification, we understand that this is an investment in God. God's investing in me, I'm investing in God. Okay? I'm learning now to govern my internal powers towards God, moving Him towards God. Okay? And we have to understand, you know, Imam Ali says the desires inside of you are a beast. The desires inside of you are a beast. You can tame the beast, or it can tame you. But the more that we feed that beast, we think, okay, it's going to be full. No, it won't be. It'll get hungrier and hungrier and hungrier to the point where it devours you. devours you. The Quran says, "Fasidun fil ardh, fanzuru kayfa kana aqibatu al-mukaththibin." Travel the earth. Look at what's happened to those who have denied Allah. Look at those people who have kept feeding their desires. How much money is enough? How many endorsements do you want as an athlete? How big do you want the contract? How many, 20 million, grade A celebrity movies do you want? There's no limit. Keep feeding to the point where now the end of your life is what? You're OD'd face down in your hotel room. Or you're hung from your closet with your own belt committing suicide. Because the beast got the best of them. Worship is an outlet. It's our relief. We're 10 days into the month of Ramadan now. One third of the month is gone. Hopefully by now the body is now used to the starvation. Right? We have to begin to starve the body now and feed the soul. Starve the body, feed the soul. Starve the body, feed the soul. Decorate your walls with the Ramadan decor, and then decorate your soul with the change that you need. This is a process. A process where there is no retirement game. the story of Unwan al-Basri during the time of Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. I'll end with this, inshallah. This is a man who was a student of Malik, who existed at the time of Imam Sadiq. Very, very quickly, the story is that he once mistakenly sat in the class of Imam Sadiq, and of course he was completely mesmerized by the knowledge that he gained. After that class, he approached the six imams and says, "I want to be your student." He says, "Look, you're already a student of Malik. You're okay where you are." And he left them. The man now, he was just, so upset, went to the mosque, prayed to Allah, "Allah, please soften the heart of al-Sadiq and allow him to accept me as his student." Okay? Kept asking him, one day now, it got to the point where he ended up at the door of Imam Sadiq, unannounced now. Came to the door. Somebody else answered the door and said that right now he's busy in worship. You can come back later. He's like, "No, I'll wait right here." He sits on the ground in front of the door of Imam Sadiq. Sits on the ground. After a while, the door opens. Imam Sadiq sees this man on the ground, picks him up and says, "Come on inside. Let's begin our first class." The story is incredible because Unwan al-Basri was 94 years old. 94 years. Imagine a 94-year-old sitting on the ground in front of the door of Imam Sadiq. Imagine Imam Sadiq opening this door, seeing a 94-year-old man wanting now to learn and learn and learn. It's a process. And sometimes the process will require one step back and two steps forward. It's okay. You need to embrace your negative space. There'll be moments where you have not the best of days. That's okay. Look, you look at a painting sometimes, right? And sometimes not every inch of the painting is painted. There are white spots. You think, "Oh, this person didn't paint that spot." No, that's done on purpose. Those white spots, unpainted spots of the artist, is done on purpose because those white spots give life to the painted spots of the painting. Do you get that? It's the white spots sometimes that allows you to see the shape and the form and the picture of what the author, of what the artist actually painted. Those are negative spaces, right? Sometimes we have moments where we just kind of want to shut down for a moment, and that's okay. Don't always have to be on. Disconnect now. Power down. Shut down. It's okay. Because that one step back will fuel you for two steps forward. And before you know it, those negative spaces will be few and far between, provided you embrace that negative space. Embrace the process. Look at worship as an outlet. Stop for a moment when you can, if you can, after Salat today or tomorrow, and just for a moment sit there in your quietness. Put your phone aside, put tasbih aside, face Qibla, put your head down, allow yourself to be a little bit quiet. Not all of you can do it. It's uncomfortable. But like I said before, change is a muscle. And when you train a muscle, initially it's going to hurt. Uncomfortable. I don't want to do it. Working out on your legs, when your legs are wobbly, is difficult. But after a while, it strengthens. So I ask you humbly now to do yourself a favor in this month of Ramadan and use these next now 20 days The beautiful nights of Qadr are literally just over a week away. Can you imagine? Use them now as an outlet. Relieve yourself, free yourself. See it as the prison door opening and you leaving your prison of pain, your prison of stress, your prison of anxiety, the prison of a broken marriage, the prison of lost kids, the prison of whatever. Self-confidence, escape that for a while. And, you know, embrace the process. See it as transformational, not transactional. And see it as a delayed investment, not something that will always, you'll always see overnight. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to accept our efforts, accept our worship. Let us see this worship as an outlet. Accept our du'as, forgive our sins. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to elevate our marhumin, inshallah, and make us worthy of the imam of our time. Thank you very much. May Allah bless each and every one of you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.